because of the deep Christian and occult nature of the Tula organization, which meant something like the Society for Research on Atlantis, its members searched in all ancient prophecies for when the Dark Age would come to an end. In his last days, Jesus revealed something about the days to come. These old secret prophecies revealed by Jesus to his apostles said that the beginning of salvation would spread from a country behind large mountains where a great leader by the name of Elijah would be born. Jesus turned around while talking and pointed to the Roman legionnaire Longistus, who was a German mercenary. As a result, the German lodges believed that this secret gospel of John revealed that the land was Germany, the large mountains being the fortress of the Alps, and that the mentioned leader was already incarnated. He would free the world through the final battle in order to initiate the 1,000 years empire of peace and the return of Christ. This is how the Tula interpreted Christ's speech. In about 1,000, plus not quite 1,000 years, you will be reborn together with Elijah to free the world. He meant the 2,600 Essene followers who were Atlantean descendants. The actual prophecy was that light workers who had taken on his work would be reborn in approximately 2,000 years, together with Elijah, who at the time of Christ was John the Baptist, in order to herald the imminent return of Christ and of life itself, and to announce the end times. In this secret revelation, it was mentioned that the power would be taken out of the hands of the Hebrew Brotherhood. Jesus meant that the spiritual power would be given to another country. The German Tula Society still identified itself with the role of world savior, which could free the world of evil. This idea became the heart of its anti-Semitic teachings. When this occult sect thought it was freeing the world of Atlantean Freemasonry through the Second World War, it expected part of this secret prophecy to be fulfilled. The brother war of the two priesthood castes of Atlantis was reenacted in the Second World War through the Tula Society. The members believed themselves to be Christ's followers, fighting the battle for freedom from the Hebrew lodges. Yet these souls of the Third Reich were the other brotherhood of Babylon, which had lost power. The brothers from Agartha, who in their previous high culture in Babylon had lost against the Hebrew priesthood. The Second World War was a continuation of the Atlantean Brother War. It was karma, which is the greatest mystery, revealing that in fact the Jewish and the Germanic roles had emerged from a common Atlantean past.
The story of Agati and Chambala is also impressively described in a novel by Russell MacLeod, The Black Sun of Tashilonpo. The novel is about the battle between these two forces. And in one part of the story, a 91-year-old former SS in Tibet tells a journalist pursuing the story how these two forces behave. He relates how Agati and Chambala and their legend have intervened in real history.
Diese Legende in die Realgeschichte eingegriffen hat.
So therefore, the Tula Society was a precursor to the original cell of the NSDAP, in actual fact, an extension of Agati. The successors of Sebottendorf, Dietrich Eckart, and in his trial Karl Haushofer, initiated Hitler into this legend. They made it clear to him that what he represented in the National Socialism was the work of Agati, and that Agati fought against its opposite, Chambala, which at the time, and even later, had primarily gathered forces in the Freemason lodges and in the organizations of the Jews.
In Freimaurerlogen und in Organisationen des Judentums.
That is the story behind it all.
Ch Churchill and Roosevelt were the leaders of the Freemason Brotherhood, and Hitler was the leader of the Thule Society and the New Templar Order. In the prophecy stating that at the time of the return of Christ, the head of the serpent would be crushed, it was not meant that the Freemasons and the Illuminati would be violently destroyed. On the contrary, it meant that through the return of the inner cosmos, the Christ powers would depossess the world powers through the overcoming of polarity in man. When the Eagle, that is the Space Brothers, has landed, there will be no world powers left, because from then on, there will only be ascended and conscious beings on Earth. They will have lived through the resurrection and will be connected to their inner truth. The return of Christ, thus, is the revelation of the planetary spirit in man, out of which he can read the whole truth himself. And thus we can perhaps only guess that the apocalypse, to a great extent, will take place in the mind of people and only partially in the outside world. The true light children and Christ followers were to be born much later, and their mission is more healing of the earth through the overcoming of polarity than the waging of wars. The Thule organization believed then that the new golden age had already started, and that Elijah and the great Atlantean souls had already been born to release the world from the dark forces. When Dietrich Eckart von Sibotendorf and his followers consulted several spiritual mediums, the name of the young officer Adolf Hitler was mentioned to them through the astral world.
The fact that Hitler was to be a kind of messiah who would free the world from the Jews and from the dark forces is indisputably the direct experience in National Socialism. He himself surely also had this experience of being the chosen one. He repeatedly spoke of providence, by which he was guided. At the end, he was not happy with providence, and he said that providence could not take responsibility towards the German nation of Germany losing the war. This is indeed a strange thing. But before that, he undoubtedly felt called upon, that is, chosen by Providence, to play a fundamental role in the world history and to free the world from the Jews and thus from the lower human beings. Dietrich Eckart was somebody who had a strongly anti-materialistic disposition. Actually, he drew his worldview from the spiritual. He was influenced by Schopenhauer and by a medieval mystic by the name of Angelus Eliseus, who lived in the 13th and 14th century. He was inclined towards spirituality in literature and in his own experiences. He rejected materialism. He saw the people who were gaining influence in Germany and those in power as symbols for materialism. On the one hand, they were the Marxists, and on the other, of course, the liberal bourgeois and the capitalists.
Und auf der anderen Seite natürlich die bürgerlich-liberalen und der Kapitalismus.
These spiritual ideas by which Eckart had been strongly shaped were surely passed on to his pupil, Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler's occult past already began during his years of study in Vienna. He read Nietzsche's superhuman, Übermensch, studied the secret teachings of Helena Petrova Blavatsky, the secret revelations of John, and regularly attended the lectures of Guido von Liszt. He was definitely a subscriber to the occult magazine published by Lanz von Liebenfels, which already glorified the racist madness, the male sun cosmologies, and Aryan culture. He found the climax of his spiritual ego in the legends of the Nibelungen sagas. In Vienna, his desire already took shape to release the world from dark forces as the Germanic Messiah. The first meeting between the Thule organization and Hitler took place when the Thule organization, together with the officers of the Volunteer Corps, drove the communists out of Munich. Hitler was informed about his specific destiny and firmly believed himself to be the reincarnated leader from Atlantis. The aims of this sect were obviously kept silent. Hitler was worshipped as Elijah. His salute, also called Ave, is a greeting of the gods. The swastika was the reversed symbol of Atlantis. If the swastika is turned anti-clockwise, it means the resurrection of souls, the ascension into the golden age. Turning the swastika clockwise means the descent of souls into the dark ages. Germany Awake was written on every banner, the sentence supposedly an awakening call towards a new golden age. The Tula organization wanted to bring about, by force, the resurrection of Atlantis and the thousand years empire foretold by Christ. No wonder they used the sign of the descent into the dark age. Adolf Hitler was adored as a savior by 50 esoteric groups and brought to power. No one could imagine that he himself was one of the last masters of the Dark Brotherhood of Atlantis, who would lead it to the dark side of occultism. For the first time during the modern era, an esoteric sect came to power with all its divisions and various branches. The sole objective of this sect, who practiced secret occultism and mass magic and lived in its own reality, was to take power from another esoteric sect, which has held the world power in its hands until this very day, the Freemasons and the Illuminati.
When the international Jewish financial structure is again successful in plunging the nations in Europe and outside into another world war, then this will not be a victory for the Jews, but the annihilation of the Jewish race in Europe.
Surely it is no coincidence that both the Germanic and the Freemason lodges, which both believed themselves to be chosen by God to lead mankind, were in fact the misleading seducers rather than the chosen ones. And looking behind the scene, one will discover that both forces were in fact the ancient currents of the occult Atlantean war, reincarnating once more as opposing brotherhoods, accusing each other of practicing black magic. The ancient war between Shambhala and Agartha, representing opposing brotherhoods from Atlantis, reached its climax on the outside with the outbreak of the Second World War. And once again, mysterious brotherhoods established all this in Munich through the Tula Society. Von Solotten was initiated by the Turkish Freemasonry, and Karl Haushofer by the Japanese royal court, which he had visited before the First World War. It was their sole intention to enter the political scene, and when the occultists actually got into the leading positions, the Tula Society was dissolved, and a much more secret circle of the Tula was formed. It was this circle which, years before the beginning of the war, undertook secret expeditions in search of the mysterious high civilizations of Shambhala and Agartha in the center of the earth.
During the UFO Congress put on by Mikhail Hesselman at that time, and Finnish National TV was there, and they asked me to speak about Hitler and the Third Reich and his association with UFOs and the extraterrestrials. So I agreed to do it after giving them some basic background on my knowledge of ufology. And of a sudden, and I mean this, of a sudden came through my mouth a quotation and a statement that alarmed me, as it did the cameraman and everybody else listening to it. They asked me, as an example, they asked me, was Hitler involved with the ETs in terms of biological research? And what came out of my mouth was simply this: yes, indeed, he was. But not like most people thought he was. He indeed was involved with them, and I went on to tell them that Hitler had made a pact or an agreement with the extraterrestrials. The extraterrestrials first approached him, as they later did the United States, and they said, look, if you let us use your people as biological research entities, or EBs, we will give you the technology to win the war. Hitler says, that's fine, but I will not let you use the Aryan race. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll let you use all my prisoners, and you can use them unlimitedly to be your biological research entities. Now, that also points up and I think clarifies many of the enigmas and puzzles that surround, for instance, the disappearance of people from Buchwald and some of the other places that later became history. Those people actually went to the ETs to be used as their biological research entities.
Even the Second World War may have been planned or masterminded by the Freemasons and Illuminati, and the opposition financed by their manipulation of capital. Or were the guardians of the world karma from Shambhala and Agartha, the leaders of both sides, the Illuminati and the Nazis, initiators of the karma of Atlantis? In any case, there was one mystery. After the final battle in Berlin, hundreds of Tibetan corpses were found very close to the Nazi headquarters. And there is another mystery. The flying saucer technology, which points to an extraterrestrial high civilization. Should the Spear of Destiny, which is a symbol for the spiritual leadership role for mankind, be given to the German nation? Why did secret fleets of submarines retreat towards the South Pole and Argentina? They also carried Adolf Hitler, Eva Braun, and other secret members of the Thule Circle.
And with the cessation of hostilities, of course, in Europe, Germany has capitulated, and of course there was an immediate interest and concern to get there as quickly as possible to capture the personnel, the documents, and also the instruments called the spacecraft which Hitler had created. Now, that was of primary interest to the Soviets, the Americans, and of course the English. As it turns out, the Soviets were the first to reach Berlin, and they did get most of the documents supportive, of course, of that particular project. Secondly, the Americans arrived, and they got the second amount of documents, but they did get the most of the brains, including von Braun. And Dr. Hertak will pick that up later, of course, and expand upon that. Now, we also discovered when we got to Berlin that the two craft which we were most interested in, the spacecraft which Hitler had, of course, built, were no longer there. Indeed, they had been disassembled by the SS, and they had been spirited out of the country aboard two submarines, and they spent 6 months at sea and finally ended up in what is now, or always has been, Argentina. From there, they were taken into Antarctica, and that's another story, so I won't go into it. Another interesting thing, too, which I'd like to bring out here, when I had my lecture in Frankfurt 2 or 3 years ago, I flew directly from Frankfurt back to Chicago, Illinois, for another major appearance, and in my audience was a woman who was very excited about what I was talking about, because I was talking about this very subject. But I was also talking about Hitler, and I also said that I didn't think he died in the bunker. She couldn't wait to talk to me. And later on, we had a private interview, and she told me that she was the daughter of the former secret head of Argentina. And I won't mention her name on TV, but nevertheless, I know that it was all substantiated. She said that when she was a little girl, about 10 or 12 years old, she and her father, who was the head of the Secret Service of Argentina, were dining in an outdoor cafe. And he said, you see that man sitting over there? And she said, yes. And he said, well, that's Hitler. You see the woman sitting next to him? That's Eva Braun, his wife. Hitler did not die in the bunker. So we have to assume then, as the spacecraft were being taken to Argentina, Hitler also went along with that and later set up his life in Argentina. Now, he died somewhere in the 80s after 1987 and fulfilled a prophecy as the great lord of darkness, of course, in accordance with the Mayan calendar.
All witnesses were eliminated by Sibotendorf, of whom not even a photograph exists. Allegedly, he was assassinated in Turkey. Haushofer and his family allegedly committed suicide. All souls who were involved with one or the other party were drawn into the game of the seducers and the seduced. A game of power and powerlessness, culprits and victims. Thus, human beings are on the inside what they fight against on the outside. because they have suppressed it, or because it was their karma to take part in this game of oppressors and victims.
There is another theory on Sebottendorf, which is held by the French author René Alot, who in his 60s has written a book and had been intensely interested in Sebottendorf. In that book, he declares that Sebottendorf acted secretly on behalf of the order's chiefs. These order chiefs were from the Turkish Lodge, which Sebottendorf had joined on his first stay in Turkey. So from this theory derives the idea that Sebottendorf was possibly in charge of bringing the national movement in Germany under the control of the Freemasons. One has to add that the Freemasonry which Sebottendorf was talking about was the Eastern Freemasonry. He also called them the Rosicrucians, the Alchemists. It is different from the Western Freemasonry, which he had rejected. Following this theory, little by little, Sebottendorf published secrets, in particular in his book, The Practice of the Old Turkish Freemasonry, which was published in 1924. In this book, there are meditation practices aimed at self-discipline, which he brought back from Turkey. The theory finally developed through this book, and it was also applied to the time Sebottendorf spent in Munich. Even there, he is supposed to have been working under the secret order chiefs.
Auch da soll schon im Auftrag dieser geheimen islamischen Ordenshäupter gewirkt haben.
Not much has changed today. All who are striving for power are manipulated through their need for loans from the financial lodges. They need money to finance their personal power thirst, their armies and wars. The Third Great War was already predicted in the scripts of the wise men of Zion. This one, too, is supposed to take place in Germany and Europe. It will be interesting to see who will be used as a tool this time. Will it be a Russian or Muslim dictator who wants to release the world once again from the Illuminati? Already one can find an extensive range of books and countless scripts, especially in Muslim countries like Iraq and Iran, telling us how the imperialistic and Zionistic Freemason Christianity remains the great evil. It is only a matter of time until a spiritual leader will be born, or maybe already is. This person might already be here, having possibly experienced the strange war against Iraq, and will try in the near future to release the world and the Muslims of the evil conspiracy and of Christianity, using literature about the conspiracy in order to initiate a final religious war and atomic disaster. Mankind could spare itself by overcoming polarity. The ego games are still being repeated. As long as there are humans who believe that the world can be changed on the outside by power, laws, and war, the wolf in sheep's clothing will still mislead people. Each one of us can only lead himself. Only when man is able to let go of all needs for authority within himself and on the outside can he take the first step into independence, because all political and religious leaders are misleading seducers. To change the world or a person by force means separating from the perfect foundation of life, and to create new karma. Indeed, life evens itself out. It does not need human beings to fulfill karma. To blame someone and to make someone feel guilty creates new karma. It creates a negative debt which has to be settled during the next life.
And so we see the Germans looking for identity, which the leadership of Hitler and others provide. And it's in that context that we look at the unique cycle of the Bodhisattva, or the teacher that arrives in the scene. And clearly, if we look at the Mayan, the Nahua, the Mesoamerican histories, we see the teaching of the 13 teachers of light and the 9 teachers of darkness, the cyclic interpretation of this would allow some sociologists and historians to believe that Hitler fits the mold of the great Lord of darkness or light that appears on the scene at the right time and provides, as it were, the consciousness opening to higher intelligence.
Therefore, it is a sad truth of karmic fate that one day the world will find out that the Holocaust of the Jewish people was indirectly financed by their own lodges. During the Third Reich, the Minister of Finance, Mr. Schacht, organized the funding of armaments and Hitler's rise to power, not only through the German industries, but to a great extent through secret money transactions from Swiss bank accounts. Illuminati and wealthy Jewish capitalists raised $120 million to bring Hitler into power. Thus, Hitler's revolution against the dark forces on the outside represents a dictatorship, his battle against his own inner darkness. The dark side of power within us and the world receives strength only when one gives it an existence in consciousness by evaluating and rejecting it. Consequently, transformation can only take place within a person and never on the outside. The exterior world only changes when changes occur on the inside.
I'd like to use as a reference point, though, the Mayan calendar and the Mayan prophecy. And in the Mayan prophecy and the calendar, we have 13 heavens, which, of course, are controlled by the 13 lords of light. And each one of those heavens lasts 52 years. If you take the 13 heavens and multiply that by 52, you end up with 676 years of ruling by the lords of light. Shortly after they cease, then, of course, in comes the lords of darkness, and each one of those two are 52 years duration, but there are only 9 of them as opposed to the 13 lords of light. So we can see that light still prevails. Nevertheless, they were very necessary to stimulate growth within the human race and here upon the planet. And each one of these lords of darkness played a personified and a strict application for the growth of mankind. Now, if you go back in history, and if you were to trace it back 468 years, and of course take each one of the 52 increments of the 468 years, you will find out that something great and stupendous happened during that time. Now, the last great lord of darkness was none other than one we knew as Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was a divine instrument. Adolf Hitler played his role well. He wore the dark hat as opposed to the white hat. If we were to relate this to the Indians, and I've worked with the Indians for 22 years, they have a very simplified understanding of these things. For instance, they have a lord of light called, Quetzalcoatl. And then they have a lord of darkness called Pakal. Now, in their mythology and in their understanding of the lords of light and the lords of darkness, these two are brothers. They are twins, in fact, and they love one another very much. But they play separate roles. As the lord of light, Quetzalcoatl, ends his reign, of course, he turns to his brother and says, well, now I've taught them all I can. I want you to go in there and test them and see how well they've learned what I have taught them. Well, in comes the lord of darkness, and in this case, we're talking about Hitler, to see how well we had learned in the past from the lords of light. As we know, Hitler was a metaphysician supreme. As he was a boy, he studied studiously for many, many years what we know today as esoteric or metaphysical things. He also, in addition to the many understandings he had of viril and many other powers which were, of course, used by the ancients, he had a morbid fascination with the spear of destiny. That was, of course, the Longinus spear that pierced the side of Christ. Hitler knew that anybody, whether it be the lords of darkness or the lords of light, should they have that spear, they were almost certain to win the war. Now, he wanted that spear for so long, and there was one in a man by the name of Rudolf Steiner, who lived here in Germany also, and he and Hitler both had a morbid fascination for that spear of destiny. Later, we know that Rudolf had to flee for his life because Hitler felt that he would get the spear and he wouldn't have it. So when we talk about Hitler, we're talking about, in my understanding, a divine being. I can remember in 3 years ago in Frankfurt when I said before a large audience that Hitler was a divine being, when of course I thought they were going to stone me. But I let that sink in, and finally I said he was the last Lord of Darkness. And after I had explained it to them, then of course they accepted it.
Therefore, every exterior revolution is already doomed in advance, because the masters of revolution themselves will later become the dictators of this world. The worst that can happen is the rule of a spiritual leader who is striving to gain world power, but who only understands half the truth and has not yet surrendered his ego to divine guidance. At that moment, an occult superego will be born, where only one individual visualizes him or herself as God superior, and all others are again inferior beings. The occult war, which started with Atlantis, reached its climax during the Second World War. The New Templar Order saw the Illuminati and the Freemasons as the Antichrist, whereas the Illuminati and Freemason orders perceived the New Templar Order and the Nazis as the Antichrist. Today it should be clear to everyone that God is inside of every person. However, to perceive ourselves as being the chosen ones, be it because of a religion, a race, nationality, or color of skin, inevitably means the beginnings of a human tragedy. God's people are not to be recognized by their color of skin, by their race, or by their outside appearance, but by the virtues of love, wisdom, and power, which they have inwardly united. All races came once from the stars and are God's people because they all carry the seed of God in themselves. The animal human, by conquering his animal features through thousands of lives, has developed into the real human being.
Were there any contacts between the Third Reich and extraterrestrial races? My very long research into the terrestrial secret societies has proven to me that basically almost all the secret societies on the planet were established in the first place to be the low-key, low-profile interfaces between extraterrestrial races or intelligence races with even higher level and our civilization. In my research, we've discovered that the Germans were in contact with at least a dozen alien races, all of them loosely grouped under one philosophical, political, religious program. And not only that, but that actually this grouping of extraterrestrial races were in their turn subcontracting for even higher levels of, let's call them, celestial management structures. But we have discovered witnesses, a lady in Australia that worked shoulder to shoulder with extremely beautiful looking extraterrestrials in an underground base in Germany. She was a British spy, a Commonwealth spy in this underground base, and she has told us incredible stories about the close cooperation of the highest echelons of the German secret societies with the extraterrestrials.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the great flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores those beautiful sailors journeyed to the south